imagination behind the screen.
Well, you put it up in time, because you can always find a...
How many M&M's do you have in your mouth?
50.
You have so many M&M's in your mouth you can't speak.
Where's
what
one?
Do you do? Jeez.
Make sure you do that during the show.
We're rolling already?
Yeah, we're already. You don't want to miss this magic, right?
You didn't hit record that.
Yeah, I did.
Red light is on. That means recording.
See, I told you. He's done features. He
that's how we shot Inglourious Basterds on one of these little audio deals. The rest of it was all CGI. But you didn't know that.
That's the brilliance of Tarantino.
I did not know
the guy's
that.
Not hampered by his equipment. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Paul Goebel Show. I'm your host, Paul Goebel. Today we are on location in Tom Griffin's apartment. It's beautiful here. It's a very nice place you have, Tom.
Thank you.
So in honor of you hosting the show, I will name you co-host. I'm here also with my co-host and best friend, Tom Griffin.
Ah, promotion!
He's been promoted for one episode. And also joining us is Tom's co-host and best friend, Jim Bruce.
Hello.
You're making fun of him?
Yes.
That's how he says hello.
You really got me there.
I did.
Quite the burn. And our guest this week making a return appearance is our old friend who, for some reason, is happy no matter how successful and famous he gets. He's always happy to slum it with us here at the Paul Goebel Show. Mr. Sam Levine is here.
Hey. Oh, thank you, Paul.
Thanks for joining us.
No matter how successful or lack thereof, you are right. You will always have
fame. Please. Every time you're on the show, you do something. There's something more important that's happened. What are you working on lately? What are you working on these days?
Right now I'm in the thick of what's known as pilot season for us actors, which is just absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
But I do have some projects in the can that are finally coming out. Most notable among them is a movie called Drones.
Drones? That sounds like a sci-fi thriller.
It's sci-fi, but it's a sci-fi comedy.
I like it.
And it's hilarious, and it is the little independent movie that could. And we shot it 3 years ago, and it's taking... It's a long, horrible, painful journey, but now it will be available on DVD for all those who wish to see it sometime in March. I don't know when. Let's just say mid-March.
Okay. Who else is in that movie with you?
Not a whole lot of names you might recognize. Angela Bettis. She's a great actress. Mm-hmm. She was in the Girl Interrupted program. She was on this past season of Dexter.
Okay.
Paulette Tompkins does voice in the film, and then the always fantastic James Urbaniak.
Oh, of course. We're big fans of his.
Is in the movie. He's got a great, fantastic part in the movie.
That guy's hilarious.
So, if you like comedy, if you like science fiction, if you like low-budget indies that look like they were made for $50 million, this is the movie for
it's
you.
It's called Clones. Great.
Drones. Son of a bitch.
Drones. Now, the big question, when is Inglourious Basterds 2 coming out?
I have been currently filming that on my own.
This is where they go to kill Tojo, right?
I'm going to pitch, I'm going to give Quentin all of my rough footage and see what he can do with it.
Okay, good.
Truth is, Quentin talked about doing a prequel.
Oh, a prequel.
Whilst we were shooting. Where do you go from there?
Nowhere.
The bastards are all dead.
And Hitler is dead.
Everyone's dead. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to spoil it for those of you who haven't seen it.
But,
they killed Hitler.
But
they saved his brain.
He talked about doing a prequel, but, and hell, if he ever actually did one, I would, of course, do it in a heartbeat. But I love Quentin, and he's only ever talked about doing prequels and or sequels to virtually every other film he's made.
Right.
And we've yet to see one, so true. I'm not exactly holding my breath, but of course.
Well, I'm still waiting on the Kill Bill sequel when that little black girl grows up.
That's the one we're talking about.
Revenge on Uma Thurman.
Stained another shirt. I can't be trusted with liquids.
Wow, you son of a bitch. All right, well, let's... by the way, I saw Barney's version this weekend.
The Paul Giamatti film.
Yeah. According to him, according to that movie, Floyd gave shitty haircuts. All right, got that out of the way. Let's talk briefly about Evan Emery.
Sure.
For those of you who don't know, this is the dude who posted that hilarious video on YouTube, and I say hilarious because it was supposedly hilarious. I never saw it. But he got, you know, a bunch of kids and, like, sang to them and then used footage of them enjoying his song and intercut it with him doing a really graphic song about fucking or whatever. But I guess it caused a big stink because the parents of those kids were not down with that, didn't know about it, and now he's being charged with basically showing, you know, involving kids in pornography, like arrested, and he may go to jail.
Yeah, it's...
What do you guys think of that?
Well, I think a couple things. One of which is I think people are amazing in their ability to overreact to things. That's incredible to me how much they've overreacted to this. He did something wrong, but the thing that he did that was wrong was he didn't... You know, he used their images without consent, and he can be sued, and he can get in trouble for that, and that's fair, but putting him in jail is not... I don't think that's appropriate. One of the things they're saying is he involved them in pornography. No, he didn't. It's not pornography.
Right. And they weren't involved.
Right, they were not involved.
Apparently, according to the article I read, the local law statute, though, says like even if you create the appearance of kids
in
a sexual situation, then you can apparently be charged.
Right, but then even that seems a little dicey because it's still not a sexual situation. You know what I mean? It's removed in the sense that what they're involved in is hearing a song they shouldn't have heard. Well, kids hear songs they shouldn't hear.
True.
Kids were not involved in a sexual act. The kids were not... He wasn't, like, saying after the song to a specific kid, now, does that sound like something you and I would want to do?
Yeah. No, I agree. It is a giant overreaction, and I think the importance, actually, of a case like this is, to me, it sounds like the first of its kind. I've never heard of any case.
Right, that's why I wanted to bring it up. Yeah.
So it will hopefully be some sort of precedent-setting case that is assuming they reach a fair and just verdict, which is he's not guilty of anything except having bad taste.
Yeah, because it's the first time something like this on the internet really has gone this far. And, I mean, for a long time, people thought, you can do whatever you want on the internet. And in some cases, that was true, but in some cases, it wasn't, and some people got in trouble. I think this is the first case where a guy knew he was walking the line, and... someone told me stepped over.
But I mean, on the late night shows, on the Soup, they used to do it where they would intercut video of the host with an interview of a famous person. And I mean, hell, Weird Al did that in the
80s. Right, yeah.
On
and
TV,
it was hilarious.
And they would intercut it. But the
difference is, these are all celebrities. These kids, you know, are not celebrities, and they weren't even asked their permission. And it was like,
he didn't ask school permission. That was the part he got wrong, was doing it without anybody's permission.
Right.
But the question is that criminal? And it certainly does not seem to be a sex crime.
No.
Correct.
Yeah.
He could be liable for something, but
you're right.
And he certainly could be sued. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I think criminal behavior.
And then, of course, that's a waste of time because he has no money, and that's part of their problem. But that's their problem. That's not his problem.
Yeah, I'll just declare bankruptcy, and that's the end of that.
And it's not my problem. Okay, well, so we've come down on the side of the dude. Is that what we're saying?
Well, I mean...
On the side of reason.
On the side of reason. Nobody's like, he did something so brilliant. I mean, I think we all agree it was in poor taste.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not all that original anyway.
No.
That's the other thing, is it's not terribly original. It's like, I guess the closest you can say that it's kind of original is, well, but this is completely... This is what would you call it? Gonzo or whatever? Like, it's... You know, he tricked real people, so it's a prank that hasn't been done before, but so what? It's just...
I don't think he was really tricking anyone, except, I don't know, maybe their parents, but they didn't know. It reminds me, there was a skit on The Whitest Kids You Know, it was just Trevor singing a song, but he was singing to these little kids about, you know, if you don't like your parents, you can get a new dad. Call the cops and say your dad smokes... pot, or your dad showed you his penis and you get a new dad. And for some of the song, these kids are sitting in front of him, listening to him sing it. Now, obviously, this is all edited and done, but this was on TV. And obviously, these kids were paid for what they were doing. Nobody had a problem with that.
And actually, I think if that's legal, then that kind of shows that their case is wrong. Because the issue isn't, it's not sexual exploitation because they weren't told. It either is sexual, you know what I mean?
Because
it's not like child porn's okay as long as the kids sign off on it.
Parental consent.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, God, I've got to return some tapes.
Because oddly enough, a lot of child porn does have the consent of the parents, oddly enough. And you know what? That's even worse. I'm going to go on record as saying that's even worse.
Oh, no.
As the kind where you don't get consent. All right, let's move on.
Kind,
my child porn is so old, it's on videotape.
Let's move on to talk about the cape. We can make this as brief as possible.
As the show will be?
Yeah, I bring it up because I've gotten two separate emails from two separate listeners, one of which said, hey, did you watch The Cape? Wow, what a piece of shit. Are you going to talk about it on your show? And another guy wrote me and said, hey, have you watched The Cape? That show's fucking awesome. Are you going to talk about it? And I find it interesting that there's two completely different opinions. I'm indifferent on the show, quite frankly. I'm still watching it, but I don't really think it's very good. My main problem is there's not enough superhero shit and supervillain shit going on. He goes out like all the time, but without the cape on. He just wears a hat. And the show's not called The Hat.
And a hoodie.
Although I am, hold on, I'm pitching that. Next
the
week.
Hat.
The Hat. It's my new show. But there's not enough of that superhero shit. If he was going around using the cape all the time and fighting bad guys, I'd be down with that. But there's not enough. Are you still watching it, Tom?
I am still watching it.
Okay. Yeah. And you were lukewarm on it when it started, right?
Yeah, I don't know if lukewarm's right. I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, neither do I.
I when it started, just from the commercials, I had hopes for it because it had an interesting look.
I agree.
And there was all the weird circus things, and I thought, well, maybe this will be really eccentric and weird and interesting, and it turned out to be way blander than I thought it was going to be. It looks yeah. good on screen, like the colors and the production values and everything, but it just, the writing is so thin and cliche.
And I think the good actors they have are wasted. I mean, Summer Glau, I find, you know, very interesting, and of course she's crazy hot, but she doesn't do anything.
Wait, she doesn't play a robot?
No, oddly enough, no.
That's crazy.
And she's not crazy, she's not a robot, she's a perfectly
she's
normal...
She's not a ballet dancer.
Either. No?
That's, wow.
Yeah? It's very
strange. I'm impressed
strange.
Now.
So, they don't use her at all.
The episode, where they establish that she's the bad guys... But she's related to the bad guy. She's the bad guy's daughter. I'll just spoil it.
Yeah, spoil it.
Sorry to give away plot details to this wonderful show, but
wow.
It was so heavy-handed.
As soon as he says, I'm looking for my daughter,
possible way you could not have understood.
Yeah.
And they didn't, but they still didn't just come out and say it.
No.
It's like, we're going to hint over and over and over within the space
of
2 minutes.
Yeah, eventually there's going to be a big reveal where we're supposed to go, but by that time, everyone, even the retarded people watching the show, will have figured it out.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
It's not...
I still say, I don't understand why the main character is a cop. Like, from the very beginning, that shows to me... Because like, his deal is that he's supposed to be using, like, stage magic. Like, nobody in the show actually has superpowers. He's supposed to be using, like, stage magic to, like...
Right.
And, like, smoke bombs to disappear like a ninja. And he's got this crazy cape
so
that he
good
can
guy
around.
Mysterio.
But why isn't he just a magician? The character was a cop, and then like after he got framed for this crime, he met a guy who runs the circus of crime.
Yeah.
And apparently in 2 days, this guy trained him to be the world's best magician.
That's one of my big problems. That was supposed to be a big part of it, him training and all that, but. Then now his training's complete, apparently. It's all good. He knows everything.
See, here's what would have been great, is if that would have been the plot, right? He takes 2 days to learn magic so that he can be a superhero. And so it's all just like stuff where he says to the villain, hey, look at these three cups I got. And on one of them, there's a bead under one of them. Wait here, I'm going to arrest you, but watch. So the bead, oh, no, hold on, I can't find the bead. I had three cups, oh. Anyway, this is pretty good.
I've got three rings, and they're connected.
Now, Sam, I asked you if you watched the show, and what was your reaction?
My response was, I've had diarrhea more interesting than the cape.
Okay, so...
I DVR'd his diarrhea. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do we want to surprise what I've eaten recently.
Your diarrhea? All right. And what network is that on, your diarrhea?
Pax.
Spoiler alert.
You would not have thought. Corn is, as it turns out, Corn did it.
All right. Well, last week's trivia
There's
question.
Like three more episodes, I think, in the cape, right?
Yeah.
They were going to do
ever.
Yeah.
They
were going to do 13, and then I think they cut it to 10. So you know there's not even going to be an ending.
No, it's not. It's going to be disappointing. Speaking of disappointing, our listener in New Zealand, Amanda, she wrote me saying, hey, what do you think of this season of Dexter? It just started here. And I was like, well, to be honest, I thought it was a great season, but the ending I found, the finale I found very, very disappointing. When it shows up, let me know what you think. And she wrote me today saying, yeah, I just watched the finale of Dexter. Wow, how disappointing, she says. She says it was such a great season. I thought they were going to lead to something great, and it was really bad. And I was like, okay. So I guess it's unanimous. The entire world thinks that that was a shitty finale. America and New Zealand.
Now,
worldwide.
So here we go. Here's my Dexter. I had never watched Dexter until I started dating my girlfriend, who I've been with 10 months now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And she made me watch the pilot of Dexter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, because this is before season 5 even started.
Okay.
And she had wanted me to get all caught up before season 5.
Mm.
But I got way too busy, and I only had like 2 weeks, and I was never going to do it. So I watched the pilot, and then season 5 the get. She just filled me in. And here's the worst part. She didn't even fill me in. She starts telling me, and I'm going to openly discuss season 4 in the end, and how Rita gets filled the thing.
Yeah, anybody should know that by now.
And she's trying to explain to me this, oh, and it was such a huge deal, and this, and I went, so I'm assuming John Lithgow killed her, right? And I literally knew nothing of the show, but I knew that.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to assume John Lithgow killed her. She said, yeah, how'd you know? I was like, well, they gave him an Emmy.
Yeah.
For Dexter. So clearly he was playing a bad guy.
He did something awesome. Yeah, he was great.
So that's how I figured that out. And she was like, yeah, well, there was more to it than that, but okay. So then I felt like I was all caught up for season 5.
Wow. And the thing is, if you want to watch Dexter,
I was impressed.
Watch the first season. Watch season 2. Skip season 3 with Jimmy Smits. Don't watch that at all. Then watch 4, and then don't bother with season 5.
Don't bother with 5.
That's how.
You didn't care for it.
No.
And Julia Stiles didn't do it.
Because honestly, the whole time I'm like, this is cool because they're leading up to something awesome, and they don't, and you realize you've wasted all that time. And again, Julia Stiles, really? That's the big get? John Lithgow, I understand. Even Jimmy Smits, I understand. There are people who are crazy about Jimmy Smits, and I like him myself. But that's your big guest star, the chick from the dance movie, Julia Stiles. I mean, I like 12-year-old boys, but come on.
She was in the Bourne movies. Give her a break.
One. Wasn't she only in
three?
One? She was in all... Oh, that's right. She was She was... No. Nope. All right, here's a trivia question this week. Last week, Jim got the trivia question correct about the Velveteen Rabbit. So this week, a question is about Summer Glau. And you guys might be able to answer this. The question is, what superhero did Summer Glau audition to be and not get? What superhero did she
Wonder
want
Woman.
To be? Nope. Good guess, though. Nope.
Black Lightning.
No, you only get one guess. Black Lightning. Nice. No, you're thinking of Sinbad.
Am I? Black Widow?
No. All right, so if you know the answer to that, who Summer Glau auditioned to be, what superhero in the movies, you can write paul@thekingoftv.com. And we got new prizes. For those of you who are my friend on Facebook, you may have heard that I recently met Henry Winkler for the second time, which means now this is the official meeting. The first meeting can now be erased from all our memories. This was a good meeting, and I was happy to meet him, and he was happy to meet me, and there was no awkwardness. I posted that awesome picture on Facebook that you were all nice enough to comment on. I had stickers made of me and Henry Winkler. So that's a new prize that we have. You can win a new Paul Goble Show sticker that has the picture, the image of me and Henry Winkler happier than we've both ever been. So that's a new prize we got, as well as the Simpsons porno parody poster. We still have those.
Nobody's claimed that?
Well, no one's got the question right since we talked about
Jim
it.
Because
Jim got it right last time.
Because you let Jim answer instead of me, because I knew it.
But I knew you knew it. There's more of a chance Jim thinks he knows
that's
it
true.
Than actually knowing it. All right. By the way, I saw Barney's version this weekend.
Yeah.
According to him, Baby Bop's a real cunt. All right. Let's talk about Mad Love. Let's talk about this show, Mad Love. Who watched it?
I didn't even know it aired.
I watched it.
Jim, did you bother?
Hell no.
Now, I watched it because I heard a lot about the show.
Most of the time when Jim says he's watched it, he didn't watch it.
What I'd heard about the show was it was a total How I Met Your Mother clone. But then everyone said, but as far as clones go, it's not bad. And if you're going to clone something, you might as well clone How I Met Your Mother because it's really good. And to make it even more of a clone, Sarah Chalky is one of the stars of the show.
Is that how it's pronounced?
That's how I say it. Oh, Tom says chalk.
I was under the impression it was chalk.
I believe it's chalk.
So? Do you know her?
No, but my girlfriend okay. also said chalky.
Aha.
I was like, is it chalky? Because that's a weird name.
I've heard it both ways, and I prefer chalky.
I'm going to call her. Let's see. I don't ever know.
You're not that famous. Come on.
But not famous enough to know Sarah Chalk.
Call Lisey Gorenson, though. You got her number, I'm sure.
Sure.
that's a good reference. But my feeling was, I liked Tyler Labine, as I often do, and I even like Judy Greer, as I often do. But Biggs and Chalky, not so much.
They were playing like the most generic version of a Jason Biggs character and a Sarah Chalk character. It's like the most bland, generic version of what they do.
Yeah.
It's like that's...
And I thought also, I mean, I was like, wow.
They were so...
For a pilot, they kind of really just threw everything together. I mean, they might as well have saved 30 minutes and just said, these two are in love, but they're taking it slow. Their two friends are assholes and hate each other. Go!
The verdict is in. It's chalk.
Where did you just get that information? Wikipedia?
The internet.
Yeah, the internet says chalk. All right. Was there a page, particular page, or did you just call the internet?
I called the internet. Dr. Internet.
The internet called you back and left a message. Oh, that's nice. Tell the internet I said hi. I just thought it was. I mean, I'll watch it. It was good enough to make me watch it a second time, but it better be really good the second time.
I thought it was really poor. I liked it. Tyler Labine intermittently was. I'm a big fan of Tyler Labine. Mm-hmm. He was intermittently good, but there were moments where he had something to do, and he had funny dialogue, and I started wondering if he just like was improvising because it seemed. Some of the things he said seemed more clever than the entire rest of the script.
Yeah,
and I like Judy Greer, but she didn't. I thought that she had she didn't have a lot to do.
Yeah, he's showing me Yahoo Answers.
Yahoo.
Well, by all means.
What does it say? Oh, it Yahoo says the answers. Actress pronounces it chalk.
Yes, and who wrote this? I don't know who the fuck wrote this. Answer by crying tears of geek joy. That could be you. For all I know.
Yahoo Answers is a big bastion.
My screen was even more ridiculous than that.
I thought it was really... I liked that whole cast. I wanted to like it.
What's funny to me is I watch shows like
I
that.
I loved it.
This has happened to me many times watching a show. I watch that show and I go, man, I loved Reaper. He was so fucking great on Reaper. And then I go, I love Scrubs. Man, she was great on Scrubs. And I go, remember when she was on Arrested Development? Fuck, she was funny on that.
Or Archer.
Yes. And then I go, Jason Biggs, he's lucky to be working. And it bums me out to watch a show like that because that, you know, those are still in my recent memory of great shows, especially Reaper. I miss that show so fucking much. And none of them will ever do anything better than what they, you know, than Reaper or Scrubs.
Well, remember, Tyler the Bean was on Breaker High.
Yeah. Why do I have to remember that?
Because Breaker High. Tyler Labine and Ryan Gosling were the stars of Breaker High.
Yes, they were. Mandy Patinkin, right?
No.
Maybe it was Inigo Montoya.
Oh, okay, that's right.
You're so dumb. I'm going to assume that was a joke.
Okay.
All right. Well, I will say this. I went and saw Barney's version this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah?
He says Bam Bam was on steroids. All right. Let's move on.
I still don't understand what's happening.
Neither.
Let's move on to Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about how fucking hysterical that was.
A good show.
It's funny to me because I watched the show and I thought... They really spent the entire first season setting up characters and relationships. Because the show was funny first season. I'm not going to say it wasn't any good, but it was, that's the best thing I can say about it. It was a funny show. But this season, now the characters, and they like even, most people don't even notice, they got rid of Mark Brandanowicz.
Yeah, they did.
They 86'd that character, and I said that to Brooke there, and she's like, oh yeah, what happened to him?
I had the same thing. I asked somebody about that, and he was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize he was off the show.
Yeah, exactly, and he was the Jim of that show. He was the straight guy, the straight man of that show, and now there isn't, well, I guess it's Adam Scott now, but they replaced him with two guys, with Adam Scott and Rob Lowe. And the other thing people don't notice, and maybe I'm dumb, but is it supposed to be like a running gag that Rob Lowe never does any work? I mean, he's there.
So, yeah.
He's there all the time. But as far as like actual work he does for the community, I've never seen him do any. I've never seen him, you know, take a meeting or write things down. He's always jogging or dating or whatever.
Rob Lowe's character. He's not a bad guy, right? He's a good guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just perfectly
a decent
fine.
Guy. Here's what
he's
is,
a little crazy, but
here's
he's
what's
good.
Great about Rob Lowe. Because, and I don't know that the show's doing this, I think this is just in my mind, I'm like, well, Rob Lowe, it's Rob Lowe, he's clearly up to something.
You think so?
No, because he's Rob Lowe, which adds a little enjoyment to the show for me, because Rob Lowe just always seems like he's up to something to me in general. Like, like if he were at my house, I'd want it. When he was gone, I'd look at my stuff, and I'd go, oh, okay.
So you think he's, oh, that's kind of funny.
Shifty character.
Yeah, Rob Lowe just seems a little dicey to me. And really?
You've never forgiven him for that video?
I had never had any problem with that video.
Ladies and gentlemen, a 25-year-old reference.
Yeah.
No. Well, how do you remember that reference, seeing how you're only 23?
what a kind man you are. I read Teen Beast.
But that episode was the pinnacle in comedy. I mean, everybody fucking performed at 100%.
And good story, too.
And that right? fucking typewriter... As soon as I saw that typewriter, I thought, I would love to have that typewriter. I would never use it, but I would love to have that typewriter in my office. And then Brooke's like, yeah, you have that, and a dial, a rotary phone. And I said, and a globe. I'd want all those three things in my office. And I could totally see that. And he basically was doing the same thing. He wasn't working. He was just fucking typing because he liked the sound of it. He liked to move the keys when they got stuck. And that, it was so funny to me. And, of course, I thought, yeah, people take that for granted now, but if someone was, like, I went to a meeting last week for this thing I shot, and it was up, like, in the hills, and it was kind of, you know, where people have nice houses that are away from the traffic or whatever, and somebody was on their balcony typing something. And I was like, wow, there's a sound you don't hear often, typing, because you take it for granted now. I mean, like, typing on a keyboard, we're all used to that. But if you heard some dude typing, like at a Starbucks, if you went into a Starbucks and a dude had his typewriter in there, you'd be like, hey! Knock that shit off, right? Wouldn't that bug the shit out of you? Because you're not used to it. I mean, it'd be funny as hell.
Now that, there's a funny, silly prank. That's a funny, silly prank show, right? You film a guy with his giant typewriter working on a screenplay. Have it be the oldest kind of typewriter, so not only is he typing, but he's having to do that thing where you hit the old typewriter.
Really hard. That would be hilarious.
I don't remember who it was who had a typewriter not that long ago where I was like, oh, I'm going to type something. Yeah, I forgot what a lot of fucking work that is.
It really is.
Getting tired from all that.
It's a drag. Yeah, and if you made a mistake.
Smith and Corona.
Ew, God forbid you should make a mistake. What are you going to do?
No.
But all the shit on that episode was, I mean, Adam Scott, it was an Emmy-winning performance, in my opinion. All that shit he did and said. And then, you know, and then... And I like how it resolved, too, because a lot of times when, you know, on shows like that, sometimes they're like, well, this is just comedy and we're not ever going to resolve it. It's super funny. But it did. Leslie did her job that she's actually good at. Said, no, we're not raising taxes, dummy. We're not doing that. And then you know.
That's what one of the things that's really nice about the way they've developed that show is they've established that Leslie's a little crazy, but she's also really good at her job.
Well, I mean, so much so, she runs the entire place. She does Ron's job. She's right. So good at her job. Yeah, and she does Tom's job, because he's fucking lazy and incompetent.
And she's not completely nuts either. She's nuts just in sort of a reasonable human way.
Oh, and you know what else I found funny? And this is from last week's episode. But I said, as I'm watching, I said to Brooke, whatever happened to Louis C.K.? I mean, how come they're not dating anymore? And then the chief of police mentions, oh yeah, he moved to San Diego. I was like, oh, well, there we go.
Because he moved to FX for his own.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I heard they're pitching a new show, Law & Order CK.
Hey, listeners of the Paul Goble Show podcast, thingamabob. This is J. Keith Van Stratton. If you want to see live comedy matchmaking on stage and or special celebrity guest Tippi Hedren, come on down to the Acme Theater on Wednesday the 23rd. All information and tickets available at thefixupshow.com. Birds!
Oh, wait, hang on. You got, there's a rim shot around here somewhere.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw Barney's version this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a fucking good movie, but according to him, Fish was the best cop he ever worked with.
Oh, my eyes. So, make it stop.
What is it you saw this weekend?
Now you ask. The other thing is, The Office was fucking hysterical. And I say to my girlfriend, man, I got to talk about Parks and Rec on this week's show. And she goes, are you going to talk about The Office? And I go, no, I'm not going to talk about The Office. For the same reason I'm not going to talk about A Sunrise. For the same reason I'm not going to talk about The Birth of a Baby. Because I am a near mortal. And that was so fucking amazing, that episode of The Office, that any discussion about it at all dishonors the idea of comedy. That's how great that fucking episode of The Office was. Which is why we're talking about Parks and Rec.
Tom had an objection to that opposite. Not a major objection.
What was
the point,
Tom,
to make about it?
Oh, well, this is the kind of nerd I am. The whole episode, I kept worrying. So there was the episode where they find the script and they do a little table read when Michael's out of the office.
Yeah.
Which is apparently the first time any of the characters have heard of this project.
Right.
So all the scenes with them in it had to have been filmed after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent the whole episode wondering if the timeline had added up.
And did you decide whether it did or not? Or did you decide it might not?
I suspect it doesn't, but I kind of don't want to go back and investigate it.
Here's my question. I saw in the credits, they listed Andy Buckley in the credits, online at least. And he's the guy who played David, his old boss, you know, in corporate. And he wasn't in the movie. Do you think he's in, like, if you go online, did you go online and look for the full version of the movie? Because I assume there's more scenes somewhere online.
Yeah, he probably was in something that got cut.
So he's probably in something that got cut. Okay, that was fun.
Well, here's what I like, too, about that episode I'm really enjoying. I'm really enjoying that Michael had a very normal moment. Because the thing about Michael Scott, the Michael Scott character, is unlike Parks and Rec, his character, I'm like, well, I love this show, and I just accept that for a show that the British version is supposed to be rooted in the boring minutiae of people you could really know, Michael you couldn't really know, because he couldn't function the way he does in real life.
It's like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, but there was a moment when he was brought down to earth in a nice way where he became, when he realized, this is dumb, and really this is what makes me happy is Holly, and what makes me happy is my friends. And I like that because I think, well, they're setting up a very gracious exit for his character.
Did you watch The Office?
I did.
Sam, what was your reaction? Because it occurs to me, and it's not just The Office, Parks and Rec, Community, 30 Rock, they all do this. The writers sit around and think, what is the worst thing that would happen? What is the worst thing, the thing that people want to see the least? And they go, how about Frank and Pete start a band? That's the worst thing that could ever happen. And they fucking write it.
Oh, man, that was great.
And they, you know, and they all do that. Like, what's the worst band that people hate the most? Bare Naked Ladies? Yes! Bare Naked Ladies is who we're making fun of. And I love BNL, but that was fucking brilliant. I gotta say, that was a brilliant thing. What is your opinion? As a man who's worked on many comedies, and probably one of the most well-written comedies ever in the world.
That's So Raven. Why are you laughing? You mean something else? Jesus.
What is your opinion of that? When you watch that and you see those scripts and that dialogue, you know, how do you react to that?
I always react positively. I mean, I'd like to think that you don't have to be doing this long or even at all to read off of the page and know whether or not what you're looking at is funny or not. And yeah. I'll be honest, though, sometimes you read it off the page and you think, this isn't that good. But then you get it on its feet with actors who really connect to the material and you can make anything.
Boy, isn't that fucking true? That thing, I'll say this right now, that thing Jim and I did for Dirk, the Fighting Guy Lady Tigers.
Yeah.
I read that script and went, I don't know. I mean, I get it, but I don't know if anyone else is even going to care about this.
It's funny that you should say that, because when I read the script, all I could think was, thank God I know Dirk, because I might not have understood why it was awesome.
Yeah.
Why it was ridiculous.
I almost said, I don't think I want to do this. But, you know, we did it. It's fucking hysterical. Yeah. And then, that's, you know, because of that,
it parlayed into a project.
Yeah, because of that, he like, started working with another dude, and that dude he's working with said, hey, can you give me the number of that guy who plays the coach? I got another project for him. And I just shot this thing last week for those. Well, it's non-union, but they gave me $150 for the day. We shot a teaser for a TV show for German television.
Sweet.
Which, if it goes to series, it'd be great, because I will be on German TV. I'll be a regular.
Oh, the best dream, part is, man. That's the dream.
It's all in German, but I play a mime, so I don't have to speak German.
Oh, lucky you.
The best part is they send me the script, and it's all in German, and I go, well, I'm not expected to read this, right? They know I don't read or speak German. And I get on the set, I got the basic idea, the premise of the show, but I don't know what anybody's saying. And they're talking to me, and I can't even react correctly because I don't know what they're saying. So I just have to pretend that they're saying something I think is makes sense. And it's fucking great. It's the best kind of acting I've ever done.
You know the band ABBA?
Yes, I've heard of them.
You know, their first album that they released in the United States, none of them spoke a word of English.
Yeah.
They recorded all the songs phonetically.
Yeah, I remember my dad told me that, and I didn't believe him when I was a kid.
It's true.
It's all true. It's all true, yeah.
Should have listened to your old man.
He was a smart guy. Yeah, my old man
Garth
was a smart
Brooks,
guy.
Same thing. Does not speak a word of English.
Should have listened to Garth Brooks.
Totally true.
But it blows me away that, you know, out of that lineup, out of the four powerhouse shows in that lineup on Thursday, some people consider Parks and Rec the least strong.
Like, it better not now.
People consider it the best, though. So.
Well, that, I mean,
it's gotten a pretty strong cult following. So
I think, honestly, after Carell leaves, you know, viewership of The Office is going to go down, and Parks and Rec is going to be the big standout.
Said the same thing about American Idol.
Yeah.
After Simon leaves, but look at this, best ratings in years.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. I'll say this about American Idol. I am enjoying this season mainly because of the contestants. I'm enjoying the contestants because they got some really good talent. There's this dude on there who is a weird-looking, kind of chubby dude, and he played a melodicum when he auditioned. And then for Hollywood Week, he played a stand-up bass. He played George on My Mind and accompanied himself on a stand-up bass, and it was amazing.
Nah, he's not the one with the infirmed wife, is he?
No. This guy has no sad story. That's the other thing.
He's just
a cool guy, and he's great. And then there's this kid who's like 13 years old.
He's 15. He's a late bloomer. And how has it not occurred to anyone on that judges panel that he is obviously a late bloomer and that is his prepubescent voice he's singing
right.
with? He sounds like the women, which is fine for a boy his age.
Yeah.
But they're letting him go through this. He will not sound like that in 2 years.
He's clearly prepubescent because he's got a lot of, like, chubby fat. He's a chubby fat kid. And clearly, you know, he's going to grow up and he's going to stretch out. He looks like Vern from Stand By Me. So that's going to happen. And his voice now, maybe he might still be a good singer. But I personally think they should have sent him home.
They should have sent him
just
home
a kid.
At the first. He's way too young.
But he sounds to me like Justin Bieber, and I think he's kind of cute. But I call him Justin Beefer.
Oh,
I said to my kids,
there.
I was like, and my kids are like, "That's so mean." I'm like, "Yes, I'm mean because I'm making fun of this kid who's totally famous and going to be rich. I'm the mean one." But I posted on American Idol. I was like, "Idol thought so far. I hate the kid in the white glasses who's going bald. He's a total douche. But I love Casey, a.k.a. Justin Bieber." And a bunch of people had comments to say, but the best comment was some guy just wrote, "Gravy, gravy, gravy, oh." And made me laugh so fucking hard. And that's why I love Facebook.
All right. I've always said, if you're going to make a fat joke, it better be funny.
It was brilliant, right? Speaking of great things on Facebook, for those of you who have heard us talk about Jim's shitty mustache for all these weeks, he finally posted pictures of it on his Facebook page. And I said, well, I hope this starts a trend, and I had a lot of great things to say about it. And luckily, fans of the show picked up on it and said other great things. One comment was, how are things on the set of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Right.
That made me laugh. But my favorite comment was from John Tuller, who said, "Hey, Nicolas Cage from Raising Arizona called. He says hi."
Yeah.
I fucking laughed so fucking hard. And that's why Facebook can be great.
Yeah, I was finally motivated to put the picture up because there's a thing that my hair does when I just wake up that I really enjoy. Because it's absolutely just chaos. There's this the thing where I'm like, it looks like I just discovered time travel is what it looks like. It's like I woke up and I went, "Oh, mommy!" It's perfect. Just this crazy everywhere.
The photo album on Facebook is called Doc Brown.
Yeah. And my hair just goes absolutely insane. And then what happens is this is how lazy I've gotten with my personal grooming. I'm clean, I shower, and I do all of those kinds of things. But like in the morning when I'm like, well, my hair is pretty heavy. If I just wait it out, it'll eventually kind of hang down. So don't bother.
Now, Sam, I'm surprised that you've gone this long without making any comments.
Well, he looks a lot like Steve Prefontaine.
Currently,
right?
Older, not the in shape running.
No, the corpse.
The dead Steve Prefontaine. Nice. Well, you're the first one to make that connection. I like it. So he's post-pre.
Post-pre?
Post-Fontaine.
He's
post-mortem pre.
Post-mortem Fontaine. I like that. That's very funny. Is there anything else I had on my list?
Before we get too far away, it's worth mentioning The Community was also fantastic this week. So.
Well done, yes.
And
I mean, they were all good. 30 Rock was super funny, too.
That was a strong night of comedy.
I liked,
And outsourced, my God, outsourced, so fun.
And well, it was outsourced.
Yeah. The great thing is, if you don't watch Perfect Couples, and you can just pretend it doesn't exist. And it's like, man, this is the greatest night of comedy ever.
Any show.
No, because sometimes you're like, you hear about shows constantly, or you see billboards. Like 2.5 Men. I don't care. You know, everybody knows that show exists, right?
Right.
But you may not watch it. Perfect Couples, man, what is that? I don't know.
It's like the Mary Worth of the Thursday night.
You just don't even pay attention.
Maybe that'll be the new Wings, where you'll turn off that there'll be a...
The show's on for years.
People love Perfect Couples, but nobody you know.
It is the big fat Greek wedding of TV.
But now
shows.
You actually watched Wings, right, Tom?
I've watched a couple episodes. I watched a few episodes, but I didn't watch it regularly.
Was it Brian who actually watched the show?
I
actually watched Wings.
Watched Wings on a regular basis?
Yes. Growing up, I watched Wings every week.
Why is that?
I thought it was humorous.
Really? Who was your favorite character?
Steven Weber's character.
Oh, okay. He wasn't Brian. He was the other one.
The other one. It's embarrassing that the name escapes me right now, but I was just, not to name drop or nothing, I was just hanging out with Stephen Weber not an hour ago.
Really?
He came to the Kevin Pollak Chat Show.
Oh, that's cool. And your guest was Steve?
Our guest was Steve Jones.
Steve Jones, that's pretty great. That's nice, Steve Jones. He's a musician, for you guys who don't know. All right, I don't have any more topics. I just had all that stuff, and I saw Barney's Version. I wanted to say that is a great movie. I will say this.
God, please stop talking about
it. On the for reals, it is a brilliant film, and it's not going to get wide release. But I mean, I saw it on a screen slightly bigger than my television in Burbank. I suggest you go over watch it at the ArcLight on a real screen. But in this, in this Oscar laden. Time that we are all in. It is a brilliant movie.
I believe the words you're looking for in this ever-changing world
in which we live in. That's right.
Which is grammatically correct.
But a lot of great performances. Dustin Hoffman will probably win an Oscar for it. It'll probably be his final Oscar, but it's really fucking good. And based on a great book. Also, it's Canadian. It's set in Canada, and it's by a Canadian author, but it's like a Canadian movie. A lot of it takes place in Montreal with Canadian... And every Jewish Canadian actor in the world is in it. Name a Jewish Canadian actor.
Mike Myers?
I didn't know he was Jewish.
I don't think he is, actually. Yeah. He married a Jewish.
You know Harvey Atkin? He played Morty in Meatballs. And he was also on Cagney and Lacey.
I'm out.
You know Meatballs? Hi, Mickey! Remember that character from Meatballs? Oh, he's in it.
Martin Short's Jewish, right?
I don't know.
Well, Seth Rogen's Canadian Jew, is he in the film?
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Why don't you call the internet and see if I'm lying?
That guy gets around.
All right, any other topics before we go?
Two, I just remembered something, because you sort of brought it up, because we were talking language. I was talking to Tom about this the other day. At the grocery store that I work at, my day job, which I don't like to talk about very often.
The one you work at?
Yes.
To maintain your secret identity?
Yes, of a successful comedian, yes. But there...
That's so secret, you don't even know it's
real.
Yeah,
exactly. I can't wait until somebody tells me. But there's a sign for the lane, 12 items or less.
Mm-hmm.
And what'll happen is there'll be a sign that says 12 items or less, and then some dill hole will go, you need to change it to 12 items or fewer. And then they'll do that, and the sign people will make a 12 items or fewer sign, and then somebody will go, we need to change it to 12 items or less, and they keep doing that.
Why do they... I understand why you change it to 12 items or fewer, because that's actually grammatically correct, but why do they want to change it back? Because people don't get it?
Because people are stupid, first of all. Because it doesn't matter which way you... I was talking to Tom about this. Now, first of all, there are some people who go, that really bugs me because I love language. It shouldn't be 12 items... Mm-hmm. Or less. It should be 12 items or fewer. That bugs me because I love language. And this, by the way, would be in the category of ways to be a dick, is say that you love language. Because that's not why you are being
Right, because you're, I walk in there, I hate language.
Yeah.
I want you to screw up all these lanes.
Yeah, and you're not, that's not why you're saying that. You're being a know-it-all. That's all
right,
you're being.
Right.
And here's what I say. I say, if it says 12 items or less, that's completely correct. Because that's how people use the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's like how people talk.
Yeah, you think nuclear is perfectly acceptable, right?
Well, it doesn't bother me.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's how you live your life. You're not one of those guys who corrects people when they say nuclear.
No, I don't.
And you think because it's actually quite common, so much so that many presidents have used it, that it's
many, harder. Many, just the one.
No, Jimmy Carter said it.
Oh well, he's old.
Yeah,
but you think it's perfectly fine.
Yeah,
you're that guy.
And it's silly to get hung up on that. I agree. Certainly, we should do our best to speak the best we can. But at the end of the day, the idea is that if I say something, I'm communicating an idea. If you understand the idea, I've accomplished that.
Good enough.
Right.
Right.
And we're not talking about, I'm not writing at the moment. I'm not trying to create a literary masterpiece.
Just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. I get that.
And it's just annoying to me that people think they're doing something of value. And like we were talking about on the internet, when people are posting in the comment section of any article, and they use its, IT apostrophe S, and they meant to say the other thing in some dill hole, and you're like, okay, great, let's have this conversation forever. Is that
how this goes? The best is that whenever someone posts to point out a grammatical error, I would say 90% of the time, they also make a grammatical error.
Right.
Which is hilarious.
It happens so much that I think, did they do that on purpose? They had to have done that on purpose, right? I saw a guy had a picture of a guy's truck, like pickup truck, and on the back window it said, you know, this is America, speak English. You think you're smart, while you are, but, B-U-T-T, you're just showing your ignorance. Now, you can't be that stupid, really, that you put an extra T on the end of the word but? That's got to be a gag, right?
I'm sure it is.
I fucking hope it is, but then he does the your one, and I think, well, that's a little more, it would be a little more clever, a little more, you know, subversive to do it with just the your. So why do both? One of them probably is a mistake, right?
I don't know.
All right, callers, let us know what you think about all this. Remember, you can call us anytime.
And I see shit like that, and it takes every, because he's making the point, hey, speak English, and it takes everything, every ounce of strength I have not to go over to that guy and go, excuse me, what do you mean by this? You really want people to speak English? You misspelled both of these words. You're a fucking idiot.
All right, I'm going to attempt to turn this back to culture, if I can call it that. I do have a television thing I want to talk about.
Okay,
please. I'm talking about the TV program V.
Oh, yeah, all right.
All right, now, I did not catch V.
Yeah.
Also known as 5, that's correct, Joe. I did not catch 5 when it aired in the 80s.
The
original version in the 80s.
So you did not catch 85.
I did not catch 85. I don't know how it ended. I don't know how long it ran. I don't know if they concluded anything, if there was some big finale. I legitimately knew nothing.
Okay.
Other than it had been around in the 80s, and now they were relaunching it.
Okay.
So I don't know how true to form this redo is.
Mm-hmm.
That said, every episode is getting more and more draining on me. I don't know.
Becoming a chore.
It is becoming my weekly chore to sit through V. Because I'm worried that they think the show could run like 8 seasons. So they're just dragging it out and dragging it out. And that is the death of a show where you're trying to build a real complicated, you know, wonderful story. Like on Lost, I loved how they stopped at the end of the 4th season and went, how much longer do you guys, we have to set an end date. Because we refuse to do this for 6 more seasons, just stretching it out. We won't do that.
Yeah.
We respect our fans too much. The last several episodes of V have been barely better than like episodes of Walker Texas Ranger.
Wow.
Where I mean,
did that ever resolve, by the way?
Wasn't Walker get killed?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it ends? Oh no, that was Xena.
He got kicked.
I never watched watch an episode of that show. But I have to believe...
Wait, don't you mean 10 Ina?
Yeah. Jesus. I have to believe that that was like... There was some chauvinist on the producers of that show, like the EP, who hadn't really worked on the show for like 8 seasons, and then just used all of his power to go, no, Xena dies at the end at the hands of a male warrior.
Now,
that's how that show fucking ended.
I'm down with
that. She got killed by a dude.
Well, I think it's a good message for all those women out there.
Wow!
But
how?
She survived by Gabrielle, who carries on her mission.
I'm a little embarrassed that you knew that.
I was a fan.
I didn't watch the program. But B, that show was supposedly the most empowering show for young women. She was the only female, strong, you know, feminine hero on any TV show, really.
That show was awesome, and Hercules was actually pretty damn good, too. And the thing that was great about Xena, more than anything else, was the fact that they reacted to the public's, hey, are they lesbians? And went, all right, let's have fun with this. I like that they did that as writers.
The lesbians.
But they tried to play coy with it, and at a certain point it became, like, too hard to ignore. It's like, okay, clearly they're lesbians now.
Yeah.
So, which, if you didn't need to just go ahead and say, yeah, lesbians, or dial it back a little bit, because the game, you've broken the game.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Because you just mentioned it, so you lost the game.
Does anyone know how long the original V ran? How many seasons it was?
Here's the deal on the original V. Really only one season, because they did a movie. It was first a miniseries,
right.
And it was just meant to be a miniseries, and then they revealed their aliens, and it was like, holy shit, and it was kind of left open-ended, like, aliens have come, and that was a great thing. And it was revealed they're lizards, you know.
Spoilers.
Everybody knew it in the first episode.
I'm warning you not to give me any, because if I do stick with it.
No, I'm just talking about the original episode.
Yeah.
But then it was so popular, the miniseries was so popular, they made it a regular series.
Right.
Unfortunately, this regular series sucked.
Oh.
And it went like a season and got canceled, and then they did one more big movie that wrapped up everything.
So now is this, have you seen any of the new V?
Of course, I've watched every
episode. Now, is it starting where the first miniseries started?
No, it starts at the very beginning, but they assume everybody knows. They're lizards.
They're lizards.
They're bad people. They're here to destroy us and eat us, and you know, and they show that, and they the way they set it up is the V's. As you saw, the V's have been here for years
for
and
years.
Years.
Yeah,
long before we even thought of aliens. So that's very different. But you know, Jane Badler, who plays, you know, what's her name's mom,
the mother, yes, from the original series,
and they're also going to have Mark Singer on coming up soon from the original series.
All right.
Which I found it funny. I read an interview with him. He couldn't, even in the small short interview they did with him, he still had to mention how hot, like, Marina Baccarin is. It was like a three paragraph interview, but he was like, yeah, I'd love it if my character had sex with Marina Baccarin. Like, really? You crazy, creepy old man. You
had to say that. You wouldn't have done the same thing.
Hey.
But she's got those sharp teeth.
I'll say that in I'll say that in life. Here's what I find, I think about Lucy Lawless. Do you guys watch Spartacus? Any of you watch the Spartacuses?
Yes. I don't.
Now,
you're Spartacus.
yeah, I am. I'm Spartacus. What about you?
And you're...
I am definitely not Spartacus. Take him.
No, I am. No, I'm Spartacus.
Hey, wait, no.
Yeah, you're
I thought you wanted Barabbas. Weren't you saying give us Barabbas? Isn't that what you said earlier?
Wow. All right, well, we got him.
All right, good.
That didn't work at all.
Nope.
Thanks, guys. Really had my back on that one.
Here's the thing, though. Spartacus, I watched the whole first season of Spartacus, and I liked it, and this new one is interesting, too.
I've only seen the first four, so don't spoil anything.
But it's very bloody, and a lot of nudity, and a lot of violence, and a lot of foul language. But Lucy Lawless is one of the stars of it, and I think when I watch it, I can't help but think how many men are watching this just so they can see Lucy Lawless's boobs, because they're present in almost every episode, and of course they're awesome.
Now hang on, what do you mean by are they out? Do you get nipple?
Yes, yeah. It's like her having full-on three-way sex with dudes and girls.
Well, in that case, they know exactly what their fans want, and they're giving it to them.
I think it's great.
I saw an interview with her once where she was like, they asked her about the nudity, and she said something like, well, my husband's not too fond of it. And I was like, your husband's the producer! I think maybe he knew what you were getting into.
Maybe that's why she does it, because her husband's a producer, and she knows, okay, well, I'll do it for my husband. But, I mean, there's a lot. And, like you know, they have orgies, that, you know, full-on orgies whenever they want to, like, basically treat the gladiators. You know, you guys want to have a party? Here's a bunch of whores. And for you gay gladiators, here's a bunch of young boys. And there's, like, all kinds of sex going on. And you know, and then there's this one major story.
Is it Showtime?
No, it's on Stars.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I watched the whole first season on demand, which was great. It has a lot of whacking off.
And
then there were sex scenes.
Come on. Any other topics we want to talk about before
I'll just throw this out. Battleship Pretension, they're going to be doing another live show.
All right.
I believe on March 5th. Is that correct, Paul?
Why are you asking me? I'm not on the show.
Yeah, it's the Battleship Pretension. They're going to be doing another show at Meltdown Comics. They were kind enough to ask me to be a guest and do some stand-up. So
there's some very funny people are on that show. Sean Cullen and Michelle Balloon. Yeah,
very
funny. It should be a good show.
Is she back in town?
Yeah, she got married and went on a whirlwind honeymoon, and now she's back in town.
She lives here again, eh?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Good.
Hear that,
for her,
Los
right?
Angelinos? Go out and see Michelle Balloon. She's hilarious.
She's hilarious. She's softened now, though, married to her scientist husband. All right.
I love that he's a scientist.
Hey, man, I'm a fucking scientist.
I think Batman's a scientist.
There's another shout out we have to give, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
What?
Long-time listeners will know that, of course, that we used to have a fairly regular guest who's not on nearly as often, John Nelson.
All right.
I love the John Nelson. John and Allison Nelson just gave birth to their baby.
Actually, only Allison gave birth.
Only
to
Allison, right.
But they both had a baby.
Yeah, they
so
baby
congratulations.
Girl, congratulations.
Bethany is her name, although to me she will always be known as Mandela. I said they should name her Mandela. That's a great name for a baby whose last name is Nelson. Because A, you honor the memory of Nelson Mandela.
He's not dead, right?
No.
But I have a great memory of him.
Yeah.
Two, you can call her Mandy if you want, or Mandela. It's a perfect girl's name.
Della.
Or just Della. That's why I said Jim, if he ever has a kid, he needs to name it Wayne. Wayne Bruce. Right?
Well, that's why I wanted them to name their kid Riley.
How many children do you have?
Riley Charles Nelson.
I love it. I have two. Why?
What are their names?
Zoe and Gracie. But I wanted Zoe's first name to be Y. And I was very close to having her named Y.
And I believe that was the day when your wife served you papers, right?
And we decided for the second kid, if it was a boy, so there was no arguments, we decided if it's a girl, you name it. If it's a boy, I name it. And there would be no arguments. And it was a girl, and she named it Gracie. But I said if it was a boy, I was going to name him Vegas. Vegas Goebel. Vegas Terrence Goebel would have been his name. And that is a great name for any young man.
I know a man, only one man in my life, whose name is Vegas, and I'm sure that's not his real name.
It better not be.
And it never works out.
Though that's great because
it's like naming a baby Jeeves, man. You're setting him up to be a problem gambler.
That when he got into high school, he would be the coolest kid ever.
No way!
They
high
would say, yeah,
know what Vegas
yeah,
means,
they
yeah.
do. Yeah,
they don't appreciate it for all its
as a kid.
Splendor.
As a kid, no one would make fun of him because what does that even mean? Hey, Las Vegas! Oh, that was my favorite part of Parks and Rec, by the way. When that guy called in the radio station and said, boy, 18's pretty young to be a mayor. What were you, 12? What? I fucking paused the TV and went outside. That's how fucking funny it was. I couldn't be in the same room with that joke. That was so fucking brilliant. That was the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard. Alright, so yeah, congratulations, Nelsons, and I do want to thank again J. Keith Van Stratton for introducing me to Henry Winkler, and you should go see the Fix-Up show at Acme. It's very good. This week you just heard who the guest was. We just played the promo of that, so go see that show. And go make sure you check out Drones
on DVD sometime in March.
Oh, it's not going to play, at least in the smaller houses?
No. We have this very small little film festival run across the country.
Oh, well, that's good.
You know, but no, DVD is where the movie belongs. You can get it on Amazon or wherever you buy DVDs. And also, I have a monthly show in L.A. called the Thrilling Adventure Hour, which is at Largo at the Coronet. Here in Los Angeles, it is the first Saturday of every month. You can find more info and tickets and everything.
What is the show?
Is that that radio show?
It is. It's a radio. It's a live stage show in the style of an old-timey radio show.
Cool.
Where the actors all dress up and read from scripts, and we do sound effects, and there's a live band.
And who else does it with you?
An amazing cast of people. Paul F. Tompkins, Padgett Brewster, Kirsten Bangsness, who else? Mark Evan Jackson.
Paul F. Tompkins on a radio-style show.
I know.
Does he really have the... God, I love that guy.
We've had some incredible guest stars. Nathan Fillion.
A co-worker of mine went to that show and said it was very good.
Yeah, it was great. Busy Phillips is on the show practically every month. I mean, there's so many people. I'm not doing anyone justice by not naming them all, but if you are in the LA area on the first Saturday of any given month, please come see us. ThrillingAdventureHour.com or Largo-LA.com.
There you go. All right, Jim, you want to do a mashup and then we'll head out of here?
All right, let's do it.
All right, you remember how these work, Sam?
I'm afraid so.
Okay, well, I have a very special guest today. This is going to be great news for a lot of Harry Potter fans because we thought the series was over. We've actually got some brand new books, so tell us about the new books you've got.
Well, first we got The Adventure of Harry Potter and the Mary... And then we've got the Harry Potter and the Adventure of the...
Boy, you guys are enjoying this.
I just got it.
Way too much. That sounded like Mama Look a Boo Boo Day. For the record.
The Adventure of the Mary.
And the thing is, I'm sitting there thinking, who is the writer of those books? And then when I remembered, I fucking laughed hard. You got it?
I have no idea.
Do you know who writes the Harry Potter
book? J.K. Rowling, yeah.
And do you know who says Mary?
No.
Oh, Mary. You don't know who says that?
I'm out.
On 227? Oh, Mary.
Oh, Jack Hay?
Right, so what do you think it is?
Very well. So is it Jack Hay?
Rowling?
Wow, that was the first one I liked in it like forever. That was brilliant.
I prefer Jack Hay from her work in Ladybugs.
Oh yeah, so that you would have got it for sure. All right, that is the show. Sam, thanks for being here.
My
you
pleasure.
Guys, thanks for coming, and everyone at home, go fuck yourself.
Tonight is our next monthly community.